Could we do what they did in the Stand Baptist history? Could we, as a church, open our Bible, have the Holy Spirit show us something, and actually change something that we have always held? That is tough.
It takes grace.
It takes the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
When you read about people who change their beliefs in spite of what their families are going to think, in spite of what history is going to say, that's something to be admired, even if they're wrong. That takes a lot of character. There are a lot of people who are what we would consider good, sound Baptists, but they have absolutely no idea why. Come on in.
I'm sorry, Danny. Does anyone have the key to the shed?
I would absolutely encourage you, always be teachable. Do not, never, ever, ever get to the point to where you will not listen to something out of the Bible just because it's not something you recognize. What if you're wrong? It is absolutely possible that we as good independent Baptists don't have everything just like we're supposed to have it. Be teachable. Be teachable. Recognizing the authority of Scripture.
Amen.
That is absolutely the height of what Baptists believe. Our authority is Scripture.
Yep.
However, if we allow our traditions to overcome Scripture, we're no better than any other denomination.
Correct.
Be very, very teachable. Chronological study of the script of the Holy Bible. Job chapter 21 is where we left off last Sunday. We are moving quickly through Job, but straight up, I am getting tired. I have to keep reminding myself, Job suffered through this. He didn't just write it, which, by the way, he didn't write the book. I believe Moses wrote the book. But Job suffered through it. So as you experience this weariness of the same old thing once again, remember Job was physically ill through it. The date is still approximately 2000 BC. The title is Sometimes God Isn't Fair. Now, I want to take a poll, and this is very important that everyone feels safe. And so I'm going to ask you to close your eyes as you vote. So I don't want anybody to be looking around, and right now I can see a bunch of eyes open. So go ahead and close your eyes, including you, Dad. Close your eyes. Close your eyes too, brother. Close them. Yeah, close your eyes. Close your eyes. There you go. Thank you. How many of you would agree? Close your eyes. How many of you would agree, and it's okay, all right? It's okay whichever way you vote, but how many of you would agree that sometimes God is not fair? Raise your hand. All right, put your hands down. How many of you would disagree and say, no, God is all... Close your eyes. I'm going to smack you. That's Bo, by the way. All right? How many of you would say, no, God is always fair? Raise your hand. Thank you. You may open your eyes. I want to let you know how the vote came. It was almost split down the middle. You are going to learn something this morning. And that's the goal. Be teachable. Be teachable in every single service, recognizing that Scripture is the authority. Sometimes God isn't fair. Verse number 1 of Job 21. But Job answered and said, hear diligently my speech, and let this be your consolations. Suffer me that I may speak, and after that I have spoken, mock on. He has said, listen, I appreciate you being here. I'm not asking you to leave. I'm asking you to use your ears instead of your mouth for just a few minutes. Very, very important that we use our ears twice as much, if not more, at least twice as much as we use our mouth when we're trying to give comfort. As for me, is my complaint to man? And if it were so, why should not my spirit be troubled? My complaint is not with people, is what he's saying. It's with God. And I have good reason to be upset. Remembering that everything you've had to sit through, Job has had to live in pain. And he's got no one to explain it to him. He's got no one to blame except the one person that could take it away and is not. Now, understanding something that God is sovereign even in his inaction. Okay? You could ask the question, Connie McTaggart is dead this morning. Could God have healed her?
Yes.
Did he heal her?
No.
No. By inaction, God killed her. Now that's not a bad thing because she is his property. He can do that. He can kill all of us. He can kill all of us. He would not be unjust. He absolutely is within his rights as creator to push us down like a bug. By not healing Connie, God killed her. Same thing with Job. Job is saying, listen, I got problems. God is doing nothing about them. So by his inaction, he is causing my problems. Do you understand where I'm coming from on here? Okay? Verse 5, mark me and be astonished and lay your hand upon your mouth. Be amazed at what you see. Get over these accusations as to why this might be happening and ask yourself, does anybody deserve what I'm going through, is what he's saying to them. Even when I remember I'm afraid and trembling taketh hold of my flesh, when I think about my own situation and just basically separate myself from it, if I look at somebody else that was experiencing what I was experiencing, it would shock even me. Yet I'm the one who has to feel it. Wherefore or why do the wicked live, become old, and are mighty in power? Think about this. Bad people, evil people, people who hurt other people. How is it that God allows them to be so successful? Now, our ultimate example would be Hitler, but you could take it right on down to the guy next door. People who do not serve God, yet God continues to allow them to relax and seem to have very few problems. I'm not in that position, Job says. The wicked live. They become old. They're mighty in power. I'm not. Their seed is established in their sight with them and their offspring before their eyes. See, here's children. Their children become strong and strong citizens in the community. Their offspring, they get to see their offspring become somebody. Mine didn't. That's what he's saying here. Their houses are safe from fear. Neither is the rod of God upon them. Mine's not. Their bull gendereth and faileth not. Their cow makes cows and casteth or miscarries not her calf. My herds are all gone. Is that fair? That's what he's saying here. Is that fair? Evil people are doing right just fine. Now granted, this happened 4,000 years ago. But it could be true, said of today in this town, right now this morning. There are people who are hurting inside. Ronnie McTaggart is hurting inside. Dad is nice suit and stuff like that. You notice he's staying back there. He's hurting. Is that fair when the guy down the street who partied all night long is waking up and don't even have a hangover? No. By the way, I know people that can drink and drink and drink and drink and drink and never have a hangover. Never. Is that fair?
Nope.
Verse 11. They send forth their little ones like a flock, and their children dance. My children are all dead.
Yeah.
10 of Job's children, all 10. I believe in my heart the entire book of Job happened by the graves of Job's children. I believe he sat there mourning the loss of his children. They take the timbrel and harp and rejoice at the sound of the organ. I sit in sadness. They spend their days in wealth. I have nothing. And in a moment go down to the grave. Now this one is significant. I can't even die. Job welcomed death and death would not come. By the way, death cannot come to anyone unless Jesus makes it happen.
Yep. Right.
Jesus has to do something to make death come. and he wouldn't do it for Job. Therefore they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. We want nothing to do with you, God. I beg God for help, and God will not answer. What is the Almighty that we should serve Him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto Him? Let that one sink in. What good does it do? By the way, I've got a good friend. His son, for many years, was the spiritual leader in the family. His son was. His son encouraged him to go to church. I asked him the other day how his son was doing. His son is so anti-God, it makes almost said his name, it makes him scared. I said, what happened? He said, I don't know. He said, but he is just the opposite now. It can happen. It does happen. People absolutely do turn on God. Now remember, this is the same guy that in chapter 1, God was proud of. This is the same guy that in chapter 2 told his wife, stop being foolish. No matter what happens, God is not going to get my anger. Job's turned on God here. God isn't fair, is what he's saying. Lo, their good is not in their hand. The wicked don't deserve the good that they get. Have you ever in your life seen someone have something that you know for a fact they didn't deserve? Raise your hand. Of course, we all see it every single day. Job is an extreme example of it because he was on the total opposite end. Everybody had a better life than he did. Everybody did. For a while, he was the greatest in the East. He had more than anybody. And now, just the opposite. Lo, their good is not in their hand. The counsel of the wicked is far from me. I just don't understand. Now remember, he's got three friends who are good, solid Christians speaking for God and been totally ineffective in helping him understand. But they're not going to give up. How oft or often is the candle of the wicked put out? And how oft cometh their destruction upon them? God distributeth sorrows in his anger. Now this verse seems to flow completely out of context with what he's just been saying. He's just been saying that the wicked seem to never have any problems. Now he's saying they always have problems. Yea, are as stubble before the wind, and as chaff before the storm that carrieth away. I know eventually it catches up with them. Eventually. Job knows what is real. He knows what is true. He knows that it's coming upon them. But when? When? God layeth up his iniquity for his children. He rewardeth him, and he shall know it. God saves most of his anger for his own children. You know what? According to Scripture, that's true. Mm-hmm. That is true. Ultimately, in hell, God's wrath is appeased. But for right now, God's mercy is absolutely the driving force, particularly in the lives of the unsaved. His eyes shall see his destruction, and he shall drink of the wrath of the Almighty. Again, this seems to almost contradict a little bit. For what pleasure hath he in his house after him when the number of his months is cut off in the midst? It's like, what? What? Remember, he's talking about God's children here. His eyes, God's child's eyes, will see destruction. His child shall drink of the wrath. Remember, you got to stay in context. It's so important, or else you totally lose what's going on. For what pleasure hath he, God, in his house after him, his children, when the number of his months is cut off in the midst? Once God kills with his own children, how in the world does that benefit God? Remembering Job did not have any concept of what specifics in the afterlife. What good does it do for God to kill his own kids? What good does it do for God to beat up his own kids? Bring this home. Some of us have seen abused children. Christy, I'm sure you have. We have seen abused children, and it makes absolutely no sense. All right. When it comes to my kids, if you try to hurt my kids, I'm going to hurt you back. That's just all there is to it. But there's some people that they are their kids' worst nightmare. Job is saying that's me. Shall any teach God knowledge, seeing he judgeth those that are high? Can anyone make God realize this? Can anyone make anyone realize this? Up to this point, Job was the first one that ever experienced unfairness. How do I know that? There's absolutely no illustration that Job could throw back at them other than animals. Job said, look at the animal world. They know that sometimes God isn't fair. We talked about that already. But there's been absolutely no particular person that Job was able to say, look at this. Be thankful that you've got Scripture to point to as examples of things that you're going through to help you know what to do. Job could not make them understand. He couldn't make God understand. I don't deserve all this. One dieth in his full strength, being wholly at ease and quiet. His breasts are full of milk. Now that seems kind of strange unless you take it in context, remembering it's poetry. He's talking about his house. He's full of milk. All right, plenty of substance. His bones are moistened with marrow. But he doesn't deserve it. He doesn't deserve it. Another dieth in the bitterness of his soul and never eateth with pleasure. Goes his whole life through in misery. He doesn't deserve it either. Is that fair? They shall lie down alike in the dust. The worms shall cover them. Both get the same thing. On the way here, we passed several cemeteries just packed full of headstones. Can you tell me which ones were saved and which ones were lost? No way. No way. On the other side, absolutely. But on this side, looking purely in the physical sense, there's no way to distinguish the good from the bad. Remember, Job was speaking purely in the physical sense. He had no specifics about the afterlife. You've got to keep this in mind. Behold, I know your thoughts and the devices which you wrongfully imagine against me. For you say, where is the house of the prince and where are the dwelling places of the wicked? You give general examples of the evil rich. The evil rich is not a new concept.
No.
They were saying, listen, rich people, they got rich by doing bad things and they deserve what they get when it finally collapses all around them. That's what they've been saying about Job. Have you not asked them that go by the way, and do you not know their tokens? That the wicked is reserved to the day of destruction? They shall be brought forth to the day of wrath. Ask the average guy on the street what his experience is what Job is saying. Today is Mother's Day.
Amen.
If you are blessed to have your mother alive, and you do not make contact with her, shame on you. Shame on you. I would love to be able to say Happy Mother's Day to my mother. Can't do it. Can't do it. My mother knew exactly how Job felt. And as I look at my mom's life, even with all the biblical experience that I've got and all the studying I've done, I still can't quite put it together. How that mom had to go through so much. I want you to understand something though. I am not angry at God. I am not one of those who say, I wish it had been done different. Had mom not gone through what she went through, she would not enjoy heaven the way that she is enjoying heaven.
Correct.
I mean, I could go right on down the line. Had mom not passed away, I wouldn't have my experiences with Ramona. And Ramona is precious to me. She is precious to me. Our problems have benefits. Our problems are good. How do we know that? If no other reason, the Bible says they are.
Yes.
We have to act on what we know, not what we feel. But on days like this, when I see people who have access to their mother and do not cherish that, it makes me angry.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Who shall declare his way to his face? And who shall repay him for what he hath done? Who really gets what is fair? Yet shall he be brought down to the grave and shall remain in the tomb. The clods of the valley shall be sweet unto him, and every man shall draw after him as they are innumerable before him. At least in death, there is peace. That's the one thing Job had to look forward to, and he couldn't get it. Is that fair? Again, Job is speaking purely in the physical sense. If he had any clue what God was doing in heaven, I believe Job would have totally been a different person.
Yeah.
I believe he would have welcomed it. I honestly believe in my gut, if Job had any idea what God was doing, Job would have said, "Thank you, God, for giving me this privilege." We have to act on what we know. What do we know? God can be trusted. That's why it's so important. Whatever's happening, good, bad, or indifferent, you say, "Thank you, God." Thank you. Thank you. I don't understand it, but I know I can trust you. He had no specifics about the afterlife. "How then comfort ye me in vain or emptiness, seeing your answers there remain falsehood?" All that stuff you've been saying, I just proved it wrong. Exactly what Job just said to them. Chapter 22. Then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, "Can a man be profitable unto God as he that is wise may be profitable unto himself? Does God need you to show him how wrong he is?" Eliphaz is spot on here. But is he being kind? We are called to encourage others. We don't encourage others with our fists. "Is it any pleasure to the Almighty that thou art righteous? Or is it gain to him that thou makest thy ways perfect? Will he reprove thee for fear of thee? Will he enter with thee into judgment? Is not thy wickedness great and thine iniquities infinite?" Remember who you're talking about, Job. Again, he's saying true things. Eliphaz recognized that Job had committed that one sin. All of us have committed that one sin. What is that one sin? That first sin is what condemns us to eternity in hell.
Yeah.
That first sin. The rest of them just add to it.
Yes.
But that first one is just as bad as all the rest of them put together. Yeah. They are all equally offensive to God. The book of James says, if I break the law at one point, I'm guilty of the whole thing.
Yep.
So when we say, "You know what? I stole a candy bar when I was 10 years old, but I never committed adultery." Guess what? The Bible says you did. You say, "You know what? When I was a kid, I told a little white lie, but I was just a kid. It's not a big deal. I never killed anybody." The Bible says you're guilty of the whole thing. Granted, in hell, God is righteous and there is different levels of punishment, but it only takes one sin to go to hell forever and ever and ever. One sin. Don't think that you measure up because you don't have quite so many. Eliphaz recognized that, but you know what? Job did too. Job was beaten up with it. "For thou hast taken a pledge from thy brother for naught, and stripped the naked of their clothing." Now, if we take this verse out of context, you can say Job did these things because the Bible says he did. Context is everything. Don't just pull a verse out and say the Bible says this, and so it says right there, Job did it. Did Job do it? No. This is a historical account of a statement that was incorrect. "Thou hast not given water to the weary to drink, and thou hast withholden bread from the hungry." Is that true? No. It's a historical record of something he said. Just because it says it in that one verse does not mean that Job actually did it. Two more, by the way, possible reasons for Job's problems. Did he have any evidence?
No.
Any witnesses? Any character references? Anything whatsoever to back up what he's saying? No. He's got logic. It only makes sense. God rewards the good, punishes the bad. You're getting punished, therefore you must be bad. "But as for the mighty man, he had the earth, and the honorable man dwelt in it. Thou hast sent widows away empty, and the arms of the fatherless have been broken." Another possible reason. Untrue. Therefore snares are round about thee, and sudden fear troubleth thee, or darkness that thou canst not see, and abundance of waters cover thee. Is not God in the height of heaven? And behold the height of the stars, how high they are. Yeah, it's true, but it didn't apply to Job. Thou sayest, how doth God know? Can he judge through the dark cloud? Thick clouds are covering to him that he seeth not, and he walketh in the circuit of heaven. You're saying God's up there so far away he really doesn't know. When I was younger, there was a popular song called From a Distance. Remember that song by Bette Midler? From a distance, God is watching us. It's a load of crap. God ain't from a distance. God is right here, and he knows exactly every single thing you're thinking. Not just, he doesn't look at the blue planet and say, oh, I hope they're being nice to each other. What am I going to do if they're not? No, no, no. And that's what he's accusing Job of. He's saying, Job, God knows exactly what you did, even though you're claiming you did nothing. You're not fooling him. Hast thou marked the old way which wicked men have trodden, which were cut down out of time, whose foundation was overflown, with a flood, which said unto God, depart from us, and what can the Almighty do for them? Are you going to do the same evil things ungodly people do? So what he's saying here, he's saying you must have done something wrong. And I know we've covered this before. And quite frankly, I've got several messages prepared ahead of time, and I get a little bit of it twisted in my head. Which message am I preaching right now? Because it is the same thing over and over and over. Remember, Job is hurting with his illness as he's experiencing these things. Don't let it wear you down. Feel Job's pain. I believe that is the entire goal of the length of this, is so we get a real sense of how Job hurt. Yet he filled their houses with good things, but the counsel of the wicked is far from me. God allowed them to have what they had. How could they not appreciate it? He's pretty much mocking what Job said. Remember earlier when Job said, I don't understand, it just doesn't make sense. He's saying, well, you know what, it don't make sense to me either. But it's you, Job, that don't make sense to me. The righteous see it and are glad, and the innocent laugh them to scorn. That he's talking about himself, by the way. Whereas our substance is not cut down, but the remnant of them that the fire consumeth. We aren't having problems, Job. The wicked are. Guess who the wicked must be? The only one who's having problems. Gotta be you, Job. That's our justification. He's saying, you're sitting there calling us ignorant, you're calling us, tell us we're accusing you wrong. Where's our problems at? Our kids are just fine. If God was upset at us, why are our kids doing so well? Acquaint now thyself with him. Be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. What a load of garbage. When he spoke last time, he correctly addressed Job's attacks on God. Now he's saying, repent and it will all get better. And by the way, that's going to be preached in thousands of churches across the land this morning.
Yes.
Come to Jesus. It'll all get better. Typically, not what happens. Why? At the very least, the devil gets mad.
Yeah.
At the very least, the devil gets mad. But you know what? Just maybe God is doing something bigger. Just maybe God is not up there with a paddle just waiting to spank whoever's bad. And if nobody's bad, he's just bored waiting for somebody to be bad. It doesn't work that way. God is always doing something so much bigger. Yeah. That again is why we have to say thank you, God. But I've got two big cuts in my belly. Thank you, God, I had the hiccups for 7 days. Thank you, God, that I just don't understand why I got to be 75 years old in this old, worn-down body. I'm so tired. Can't get over it. But thank you, God, I trust you. No offense, but I've been saving it up for you a little bit. Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth, and lay up his words in thine heart. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles. Then shalt thou lay up gold as dust. You're going to have so much gold, it's just going to be laid in the corner. You have what? Who ever experienced that? A lot of bad people experienced gold as dust, but very, very few good, righteous people had that much money. Very few. Thou shalt lay up gold as dust and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. Ophir is a place that It would be the equivalent to Atlantis to us, okay? It was a mythical town. Nobody knows where it was, but it was the place where everybody lived who was super, super wealthy. He didn't even have a real example to give. Yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense. Thou shalt have plenty of silver. For then thou shalt have thy delight in the Almighty, and thou shalt lift up thy face to God. This part is true. This part is true. When things start going good, we're real happy with God, aren't we?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee. Thou shalt pay thy vows. I believe he was implying that Job would be able to serve God. All right? We know we're supposed to read our Bible. We know we're supposed to pray. We know we're supposed to tithe. But you know what? A lot of people, their tithe is zero because 10% of zero is zero. And they feel guilty because of that. They feel guilty because they can't put anything in here because they haven't made any money. You know what? A tithe of zero has been paid. And you shouldn't feel bad about it. Job wanted to serve God. And he couldn't because he was so physically ill, he couldn't do anything but sit there and scrape his sores and pull the worms out. That's all Job was able to do. He's saying, you know what? If you'll change your ways, Job, then all your problems will go away and you'll be right back to serving God again. Thou shalt also decree a thing and it shall be established unto thee. And the light shall shine upon thy ways. You're going to be able to decide what you want and it's just going to happen because you're going to have the resources to get it done. When men are cast down, then thou shalt say, there is lifting up. And he shall save the humble person. You are going to be sitting here where we're at. You're going to be able to give good advice to people. But Job, you got to admit what you did wrong. You got to. If you don't, it's never going to get better. Job, just admit it. Whatever it was. He shall deliver the island of the innocent. And it is delivered by the pureness of thine hands. God's going to use you to help other people. But Job, you got to get right with God. Do good and good will come. Very rarely is that the case.
Yeah.
Eliphaz was wrong. Job was right. Sometimes God isn't fair. Now we took a vote. We took a vote when I started. How many of you say God's fair? How many of you say God's not fair? As God is my witness, I can't remember who voted which way. So don't feel like that anybody's singled out right now. But you know what? Sometimes God isn't fair. I'm going to take it one more step farther and prove it to you. Grace and mercy, by definition, are both unfair. Grace and mercy, by definition, are both unfair. Grace is getting what I don't deserve, and that's unfair. It's unfair in my favor, but it's unfair. Mercy is not getting what I do deserve. Again, unfair. Unfair in my favor. I'm not getting the bad that I deserve. Is God sometimes unfair? You better believe it. What do we deserve? We deserve to burn in hell this minute.
Yes.
This minute. So as I look at my mom laying in that grave, is God unfair to her? No. God's unfair to me. Jesus makes them both, grace and mercy, possible. Why? Because God is just.
Yes.
There is a difference between fairness and justice.
Yes.
Fairness says that Bo gets the same thing Lynn gets. Justice says that if Bo did something wrong, somebody pays for it. Doesn't have to be Bo. Jesus paid for it. Justice says that if Lynn did something wrong, somebody has to pay for it. Jesus did. Therefore, God is just in being unfair. But make no mistake, just because we think we're a little bit better than the next guy, we've all got that first sin.
Correct.
We've all got it. Wade, would you close us in prayer, please?